Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Mary,
oh, Mary,
don't you weep. Tell them I've been lied to,
Martha, don't you mourn.
Pharaoh's army, they've been drowned.
Gonna come with you.
I'm swinging it for water. Easy seems lost for charter. Little goofy guy got it. And I'm gonna miss everybody. I don't roll it so my gang. Look to the world. Hey, I'm playing for dust. And they play too deep for beats. Hey, to the ledge I came to be. Some of your feet to the feet for their feet. Marry me by my grand grand. And when you get me, I'm gonna
God bless you. Work another plan to heaven. Follow the Lord on 24/7 deck. God is who we pray. Even though the devil's all up in my face. But he's keeping me safe and in my place.
Say grace to the gates of race. What I've changed the face of justice. And I got my soul on full. Grudge me because there's no mercy to fill. Ooh, what can I do? It's all about the family and how we grew. Can I get a witness? Let it unfold. We live in our lives. We turn around to
with that song. So welcome to the What's the Point.
with Justine Williams on E-Water Radio, KEWR. We are going to have an amazing show tonight, and one of my really good friends, someone that I really admire in life and someone that really has a lot to bring to the world, is going to be joining us, Inari Fox. She's going to kill me if I murdered that last fake name. But as always, on What's the Point, we want to have fun, but we also want to tackle very important issues. So tonight, we're going to talk about loving and losing and death and how we deal with it. How do we live, love, and lose? And I think it's a very important subject. I don't know if you guys were listening to the first chapter of Loving, where we had the men on, and our guest talked about having his best, Lester talked about having his best friend actually take his life in front of him, and that actually really changed his life and made him go in very different directions in how he approached life and how he approached his career and where his drive came from. And so, I mean, we got so many things to get into, so let's get into it. I do want to introduce my dear, dear friend.
Hello there.
I'm
here.
My love.
Hi.
I can hear you.
Thanks for having me again. Okay, now let's not talk.
I'm always trying to drag you on my show.
I know, I love it. It's great to be back. Thank you.
Of course. I feel like tonight's gonna probably be a little bit of a very serious show, and I honestly, I want to thank you for coming on, because I know that you will be open and honest about sharing everything, and a lot of people, that's not their healing process.
No, and I have a lot of experience, you know, with loss. I mean, I've been dealing with loss of family members since I was a toddler, and my parents were very, very open with me about understanding it, and since then, you know, I've lost a lot of friends, more family members, you know, I'm in a relationship with somebody who's lost a lot of important, you know, family members. So then you learn what dealing the loss through the eyes of someone that you love too, you know, and then it all kind of brings it all back together. So I hope to, you know, shed a little.
We hope to heal.
To help people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
and everybody does it differently.
To heal. Yeah. So let's get started. Okay. But I really want you to kind of share your story and how you want to connect, because I know you had a lot of loss in your life, and so is Phoenix. Shout out to Phoenix. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it started, I mean, when I was really young, I lost I was very close with my father's mother, my grandmother, and my aunt, my father's sister. I was a late in lifer. My father was born in 1919. He was in World War II. He was the baby, so my auntie was older than him. And, you know, I was, gosh, two to three when it all started, and then four, you know, more deaths. But that impacted me that young to be able to understand what it meant when somebody close to you dies, you know, so I guess that made it easier than when I lost my father when I was 15, you know,
but
it was
you
just.
You remember that from 2 years old?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very prevalent. You know, but how.
I have
but
no memories
how,
that young, you know. like a lot of people don't remember anything from when they're 2 years old, but I guess it's when tragic like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, too, I mean, I remember going to the funerals, and, you know, of course, that was old world funerals back then. You know, I'm Serbian, so, you know, it was you know, a long funeral process, a couple of days of showing, you know, it was very old world and traditional. So, but it hit me, but I was able to understand and to watch how people grieve differently. And then it really came into point when I lost my father when I was 15, and so many of my schoolmates, they didn't understand what it was to lose somebody close in their life at all. They still had their grandparents. They didn't understand death. Excuse me. They didn't understand how it affected people. So me having to deal with loss and not having anyone else who understood what I was going through was very difficult. And then I could see how it weirded people out that were close to me as a child, because they didn't know how to deal with me dealing with a loss so close, you know? So it was interesting.
This is the thing. This, like, losing someone, like your dad as a teenager, when you're already going through so many things, already just trying to understand yourself. Who am I? You, hormones, all this, and then bam.
Oh, yeah, and then it turns into what's the point? Turning into a little apathetic little brat. What's the point? Nothing matters.
And you did that?
Of course. Of course. You know, I always had enough love around me. I didn't question life so much to where I got suicidal like that, but it was just kind of like, why try? You know, so I became, you know, very anti-establishment at that point.
What do you mean by that?
You know.
I honestly would rather not have a dad. So that to me feels easier than losing a dad at that point in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question. But, you know, it's just part of our lesson and, you know, part of our past. So you move forward, you know. And since then, you know, there's many more people that I lost, you know, that were very close to me in my 20s. One that was very tragic was the loss of my nephew. It was stated that it was a suicide, but none of us believed that to be. He was getting some questionable treatment from from a drug center for opiates. So we believe that they prescribed him too much Suboxone and Xanax, and it gave him a heart attack, and he fell off an overpass. That one was really hard because he had a 2-year-old son that he left behind at the time. So that one was pretty hard.
I think that we warn the listeners that this is going to probably be a really emotional show, because I want to really get into, because you've lost father, mother,
I know
so many.
We haven't even gotten into the other ones yet.
right, we just got started. So
I know. Sorry. Why don't we take it to a song?
I think I'm going to play a disclaimer on you.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you already had done that.
No, I didn't do the disclaimer yet because you didn't talk yet. But
now
it's not like that. But I want to take this show very seriously. And
oh, absolutely.
It's a very big deal. It's a very big deal. And
to help people. For sure, and to help people get through it, and the way to help people get through their losses, you know, a lot of times is sharing stories, because it helps you feel like you're not alone. The feelings that you're feeling are not singular, you know. It's not an easy thing to go through, and to let yourself go through the mourning process, you know. Some days you're going to feel great. Some days you're going to feel guilty. Some days you're just going to feel completely empty. And some days you're going to feel absolutely nothing. And to know that it's okay that you go through all those levels.
It's okay. And we're going to get into actually all that. You and I are actually going to go really deep, because we're comfortable doing that. But I want to go deep with you, like the levels of it actually matters how someone dies in your life. And how you handle it.
Okay, I'm going to think about that.
You got to sit on that, because you know our last guest, Lester, where if it's a suicide, that just affects you very differently than someone in your life dying from cancer. I don't know if it should, but I think it does.
Right. I think that would probably have more to do with the sudden loss as opposed to an expected loss. You know, because
well, that's something we're going to talk about. We're going to play. We're going to play this disclaimer. We're going to talk all about it. I could be wrong. You know, you could be right, but we're going to do that, and then we're going
to
play a song after that.
A song about
that. Yeah, and we're going to get into your song that you said that actually was very important to you. Was Puff Daddy missing you? So we'll play the disclaimer. We'll be right back.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR-DB, or its affiliates.
And I actually feel like that Puff Daddy Faith Evans song, I Was Missing You, is probably one of the best songs.
No, that one was really precious. That was a favorite of my nephew that I was talking about. And I don't know if there's any mystics out there that are listening, but my sister had waited over 2 years to, you know, speak to a light being that could communicate. And that song was told through the medium to my sister as something that was precious to my nephew. And there's times where she'll be in a car or she'll be somewhere and that song will just come on. And it kind of lets her know that, you know, my nephew's still talking to her, but it's Puff Daddy is one of his favorite artists, so it's no surprise. But I don't know, so that one always kind of hits home for me.
Yeah, jerks you a little bit.
Just a little bit, but it's a great
song. I do want to add, how old was your nephew when he passed away, if I can ask?
22.
And that's so young, and you have so much life to live.
Yeah, that's why it didn't make sense when I was trying to say suicide. I'm like, no, he had a 2-year-old son that he was crazy about. He wasn't depressive like that. That's why I was like, no, there was something else going on. But that's another side of it, you know. And it was hard, you know. It was hard to watch, you know, the family go through, you know, the healing process, you know, with losing him, and you know, especially with a young child. And you know, as you know, there was, you know, more loss to come in my life, you know, dealing with young children when, you know, my daughter's father passed away unexpectedly in an accident, and
don't expose that right now, because we're actually going to talk about that, because I want to give that its own section.
Gotcha.
But yeah, because I every loss I want to give attention to. I want to stay on your nephew for right now. How do you think it feels for a mother to lose a child, knowing how she felt?
You know, I can't imagine, you know, and I guess, you know, the future loss we're going to talk about really brought a lot of it, you know, to my heart, and it made me able to actually deal with my nephew's loss a little bit, you know, even a little better. I couldn't possibly put into words.
And
what
you know,
like to lose
and
a child.
I'm going to pick your brain because there's a lot of children out here dying for senseless reasons.
Oh yeah.
For very,
you know,
senseless reasons.
And
so if you are
in relationships break
like,
up because of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, relationships do, but what I want to really get into and tap to with you, because you're the perfect woman to have these conversations with. How do you deal, like, how do you see, like, with cops shooting these children or, you know, children being here or there and they're not safe? Like, how, or children
now that affects me.
Drugs. How, like, you know, when it's with your, you know, children not being supervised the way that they should be.
It kills me, you know,
circle.
I mean, absolutely. And as a mother, you know, my daughter's 13 now, and, you know, by the time I was her age, I knew my whole neighborhood, my whole community. I was out and about, you know. Our parents told us, you know, get out and stay out, and would lock
street
us out light. Till, you know, the sunlights, you know, the street lights, the sunlight went down and the street lights
street
came
light.
On, you know, and you just can't trust people in communities like that anymore, you know, and that really breaks my heart.
You know what's so crazy?
Children
is that
dying
we're supposed to be
dead,
working
people.
For our communities to be better, right? That's what the government
yeah.
is saying. Like, there was a black president. We've come so far, but have we really, if our children aren't safe?
No, and that, and it my heart breaks every day with every new story that pops up on my timeline, and every new story,
you know, of senseless death and fear. It all stems from fear and miscommunication and misunderstanding, and it breaks my heart.
I mean, it breaks my heart and it blows my mind too. So, I mean, what do you say to the parents where you don't expect this to happen to your son?
You know what, and like when I found out, you know, when my ex-husband passed away, you know, unexpectedly, that's where I really kind of was able to come to terms with these thoughts, because I was the emergency contact. I'm the one that found out. And, you know, when I had to look at his mother, look at his sister, and look at his daughter, you know, I couldn't imagine losing my brother or my son. You know, I know what it's like to lose a dad. So I looked at my daughter and I'm like, I know what to do with you. I got you. But I looked at his mom and I looked at his sister and I'm like, I couldn't possibly know what it's like to do this. So I did everything I could to make, you know, the situation easier for them, because I had dealt with so much death in my life previously, you know.
You think
the
that's a different
that.
Conversation though? Like what you said to your daughter and what you say to a mother and a sister.
It is a little different. Well, it was for me, because I know what it's like to lose a dad. I didn't know what it was like to lose a brother or a son, you know. So the only thing I could do was, you know, help them the best I knew how. With my daughter, I knew how to help her, you know, because I had already gone through it, you know. But by doing so, I put my own feelings on the shelf for a very long time. You know,
can
I
ask
what you said
to your daughter?
Well, she was there at the moment that I found out. So, you know, she just looked at me, and the question that she asked me was, Mommy, my daddy died, and all I could do was hug her and say, I'm sorry. It was, it was pretty traumatic. I mean, to set the whole scene, I was at lunch, the entire family, we were out to lunch. And, his sister asked me, you know, if I'd heard from him, and I was like, he's skydiving, we're not going to hear from him for quite some time. And she said, well, I just got this weird text message on my phone asking if he was okay. I'm like, well, that's weird. So I looked at my phone, and I had the same kind of text message from a friend in another state. So immediately I called the drop zone to find out what was going on. And I said, you know, they answered, and I was like, I understand that, you know, you have so-and-so skydiving there today, but I'm seeing really crazy things on Facebook right now. Can you please tell me if there was an accident and, you know, if everything's okay? And then he called me by my name. He's like, and if you know my name, then you must have talked to him, so he must be okay, you know? So I'm just like, oh, all right. He's like, yes, there was an accident, but I'm sorry to tell you that he didn't make it. And I lost it. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, you're the first to call on his emergency list. But because the sheriff's department hadn't finished their investigation yet, that's why they hadn't called me yet. And it was just that people who were there who knew him started making posts about, you know, his passing on Facebook. So that's how we found out. So
how does that make you feel that they're like – posting something so
well in one aspect, I have to say I trolled really hard, and I have to give them a little bit of, you know, a little bit of leeway, because they all waited several hours before posting anything. So it wasn't like any of them posted anything immediately. I think they just thought, you know, that would have been enough time, you know. It had been a couple hours before they started posting. Either way, you know, it's a devastating thing to find out online or through someone else.
Absolutely. But
you know, as soon as I heard the news and I looked across, you know, I looked across the patio and I looked at his sister and I shook my head no, and I fell to my knees. And that's when my daughter came up to me and she's like, Mommy, my daddy's dead. And I said, I'm so sorry. And I looked at his mom and I hugged her and I said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to talk to his mother. And I handed her the phone because I couldn't say it to her. I couldn't. You know, it was a whirlwind of devastation, you know, and that's when you find out, you know, something so unexpected, you know, like when my father passed away, or even when my mother passed away, you know, we knew it was coming, you know, so I understand, you know, both sides,
You know, it's I don't think it's any easier. You know, it's just a different way of looking at it. You know, is the loss still loss? You know, you think you can prepare
but
for
also
the loss.
You but have experience with dealing with it.
Yeah, and it sucks either way.
I definitely know it's a killer. Because when I knew we were going to do this show, right, I started thinking about, and I wrote a list about everyone that in my life that I feel like I don't appreciate enough, that if something happened to me, like it happened to you, I would lose it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And you know what I mean? Because I feel like I don't appreciate them enough.
Right.
So
yeah,
the first
you know,
one on my list, you see where I'm going with this. The first one on my list is my brother.
Right.
And I said, you know what, this show might be a little hard for me to do with you because I know the pain, but I every day pray that my brother will be okay and make it home safely. My niece will be okay. You know, and
right.
you and I, we pray for each other. You and I talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's those things. So what I want to ask you is that how your appreciation for the people in your life, how does that work?
Man, you know, as an adult, you know, especially the older you get, you definitely have a grander appreciation for the people around you. And, you know, I went through it in my years, you know, when I was, I found out my godparents had passed, but I found out after they died. So that was really devastating to me because I never really got to tell them the things I wanted to tell them, you know, and things like that. That's where it really, you know, really hits you. And then that's really coming down to you just have to forgive yourself. Because ultimately when, you know, when we die, in my belief, we just go back to the energy source. And at that moment,
exactly.
our earthly worries don't matter. So they no longer care. They went home.
This is where we play our disclaimer. Because I know that there's a lot of people out there that don't believe in, and I listen, we're about to go here. I'm sorry. It's so what the point with Destiny Williams is she don't talk about it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't believe in reincarnation or believe that, you know, no matter you're religious. I'm a Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ashamed, you know, and I love
mm-hmm.
being a Buddhist. But
mm-hmm.
I grew up being a Baptist. And there's a lot of conservative views that I have from being a Baptist and growing up that way. I'm a hot mess, but you know that I'm very conservative when it comes to my family views.
Yes.
So, but when it comes to like that and death, I do feel like our energy kind of comes full circle, but how do you think people deal with that when they don't believe, like Christians, where they think like that's blasphemy?
You know, I don't even really know what to say on that because I've always had such a very, I've always been very spiritual in my belief of, you know, what happens to us, and I've respected everybody's personal ability to deal with it in their own way, and I've tried hard to not press the issue to people who aren't open. If you know what I mean. It's such a personal issue, and I find that when you're dealing with loss, it really has a lot more to do with your personal relationship with yourself than it does anything else. Because it makes you self-reflect on your own mortality. You know, when someone close to us dies, you know, we immediately reflect on our lives and what have we done or what did we do while they were alive. You know what I'm saying? So we do a lot of self-introspection at that point. So that makes
do
sense.
You feel like, you know, it makes a lot of sense, but do you think a lot of times when tragic things happen in our life and it doesn't have to be death, but it could be something else, mm-hmm. like getting into
well, even
a car
loss of a friendship or, you know, loss
right.
of friendship
something
or,
like
you know,
that,
a breakup or
do,
something that's still a loss.
It's still a loss, and you change your you change your behavior for a second.
Sometimes.
For a month.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, and that's the process of grief. You know, I mean, there's a whole grief cycle
like,
that everybody
like
goes
death,
through,
like,
and not everybody does it in the same order, but everybody goes through the same grief cycle, and it affects us, you know, on different levels, but we all go through each thing, and it, and guilt is one of them, you know, despair is another, doubt is another, disbelief, you know, and it's just, you know, it's a cycle that we all have to go through.
Before we play a song, I'm going to throw something out mm-hmm. there, and I want you
okay.
to get into it. Miscarriage.
Okay. hmm. Yeah, that's tough. I've never experienced that, so I don't know, but I know that that has affected people I know very differently. And once again, oh. it has to do with your self-identity and your self-identity to your mortality. And also your expectation about what changes that child was going to bring to you.
Do you feel like that's death? If you have a miscarriage, like, or do you feel like it depends
to some
on
well, yeah, absolutely.
The woman, like it depends on like
uh-huh.
how she's going to view it. Like, because if she
absolutely.
Really didn't want
because
the child or didn't, you, right.
Great point. It's like, say she wasn't really excited about having that pregnancy anyway because her and the dude broke up. She's going to probably be a little less sad about it. If you were having this child and you thought this was going to be the only thing holding you and your partner together, you're going to feel double loss. Or if you were, you know, hoping that this child was going to bring you a new sense of purpose, oh, man, that's going to crush you, you know. So, of course. You know, I think that's going to be, you know, different levels on your interpretation of your identity with that situation.
And I think this goes back to everyone's individual and experiences
mm-hmm.
hurt a different way.
Yes, agreed.
Should we, like, play some music?
I think so.
We're gonna talk all night. I do want to play a song for you.
Okay.
I want to play Nas Dance with My Mom one more time. It's one of my favorite joints, and you know, in my past life, I've married to him, but he left me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna play. Yeah.
Day I can go back to when I was born, laying in your arms, wishing you was here today, Mom. Wish you'd appear just for a second from heaven. My tears would be gone. I wouldn't be rapping this song. I'd be happy driving up to your 8-bedroom mansion up late, laughing about the hard times we faced. The galaxy is so enchanting, beyond Galileo's understanding, past the Milky Way and all the planets. There's something out there greater, but only God knows. Scientists claim we came from apes, but they lies though. That was part of our conversation. A spark went up and started blazing, thinking of how amazing she was. An angel gave me love. I'm thankful to ever know a woman so real. I pray when I married my wife I had one of your skills. But Mom, you could never be replaced. I give my life up just to see you one more day to have.
One more dance with you, Mama.
If I could only have
one more dance with you, Mama.
Praying, wishing I could have
one more dance with you, Mama.
If I could only have
one more dance with you, Mama.
I wish you were here. I miss you more each second I breathe. You resting in peace forever. I accepted you free. A blessing to me. I see you dressed in all white, smiling at me, happy, knowing everything's alright. If only I can hear your voice and your laughter just one more time. My chest will be filled up with sunshine. April 7th, 02. That's when the gates of heaven opened up for you to stroll through. Beautiful Ann Jones, job is done. Raising ghetto kids in the hood. You was my strength to carry on, and now I'm good. Job well done. You
live through your sons and grandchildren. Jesus finally got his bride, mommy danced with him, and you've been my God through all the trouble I faced. They playing our song, the light beat, my hand on your waist. I grab your other hand, I'm trying not to step on your toes, spin you around with my eyes closed, dreaming I can have
one more dance with you, mama.
If I could only have
one more dance with you, mama.
I'm praying, wishing I could have
one more dance with you, mama.
If I could only have
one more dance with you, mama.
I love you forever, mom. You will always live through me. Always.
Thank you.
Like, I'm sorry for letting that go on too long, but I feel like you have to hear Mariah at the end of that song. Makes the whole song.
I know, right?
Doesn't it? Like, it's just like it's a 5-minute song, but if you don't hear her hit that, you want me to hit it for you?
I know you can.
Girl. All right, so we're going to get back to our conversation, and we only got 12 minutes left, and I feel like that's just not enough time to shine light on your mom. But can you please just talk about her?
Oh. Okay. So I think the hardest part about that was that I lost my mom 6 months after I lost my ex-husband, my daughter's father. So that was really devastating. And it really wasn't until, you know, I had to go through the loss of my mom that I really started to realize how much I hadn't processed the loss of my daughter's dad. But with my mom, we knew it was coming. She was a survivor. She was a pancreatic cancer survivor for 10 years, which was amazing in itself. But the cancer came back, and then she suffered from strokes, and my mom was just one to not want to, you know, be on life support. So it was, once we knew that her quality of life was going to be diminished, she just wanted to be at peace. So, you know, respecting her decisions, but that was, it was tough, you know, and I was grateful that I was able to have the conversations that I needed to have with her up until that point. You know, we were, you know, at wonderful terms. You know, I love my mom so much. But then it wasn't until a few years later that I started getting mad at her again. I was like, no, wait, I wasn't done with you.
What do you mean?
Have.
Why so?
Well, because I had questions.
Do you feel like,
you know, I was
missed,
going through.
Yeah.
Well, because
like
I was going through different stages of my life, and so I was going through different stages of my life and coming to new realizations and, you know, new levels of my understanding of my being and myself and my self-awareness of my higher power. I realized, no, wait a minute, no, I'm not so cool with you right now. We need to talk about this, but I can't talk to you about this right now.
What did you go to, like, instead,
you know,
though? Like,
at that point, you just, the only thing you can do is, you know, you talk to yourself and you talk to your higher power, you talk to God, you know, whatever friends you have around you, just to work through it. You know, if you need to reach out,
you
know, there's groups.
I'm sorry, I'm going to go for your jugular. Like, I'm going for your jugular. Like, what would it be like specifically, because this is going to help a lot of people that have lost their mothers from cancer too soon, way too soon. What were the things specifically that you were going through that you were like, you know what, I'm angry that you're not right here, right now?
Well, you know, and that it had less to do with, you know, her dying from cancer and more to do with, you know, things we went through, you know, how she, things that I went through that affected me growing up, you know, things I wish she would have taught me better, things that I wish that, you know, she would have prepared me for better, you know, now that I'm going through it as an adult, you know. But at those points, the only thing you can resonate with is that they did the best that they could, the time that they were given. And so for that, you have to be grateful. Mm. And as soon as you can hold on to that and just be grateful that they did the best that they could, the best that they knew how as parents, it can resonate, and you can find that peace and use the strengths that they did give you to get you to the next level, you know?
Let me tell you something. There's so many people that have negative feelings about their parents. You don't have that towards her. So she was an amazing woman, you know, and she did give you all the tools that you needed.
You know what? And yes, and for that, I'm grateful. And whether I was able to, you know, pick up her lesson when she was putting it down, or if it took me 20 years to figure it out, you know, either way, you know, she still gave me, you know, enough to work with, you know, and so for that, I'm eternally grateful. And, you know, the only thing I can say to your listeners now is find that sense of peace within yourself, and, you know, don't harbor their guilt and don't harbor their baggage in moving forward in your life. You know, resonate with the memory of the life that they live and the lessons that they taught you through your life, through their life, and moving forward. You know, and that's the best way to celebrate it, you know, and learn to find self-love through the loss.
Yeah. Which is really, you know, it makes a lot of sense, and we got 8 minutes left. But I want to switch gears a little bit, and I know that's bad. But I have a great grandmother that I just adore, Gran, and she's, I don't know, Gran is going to kill me if she hears this. She's 86, 87, but she has fought with breast cancer. And now she has another form of cancer. I mean, this woman's a bull. She just won't quit. She just won't quit. And so, like you talked about, preparing yourself for things, because she's even told me this is it. Like I'm done. You know, all the chemo and how to. It's draining on the body.
Yeah.
It's straining on the body.
I was going to say, I saw when my mom was ready to let go, and it broke my heart because she was like, no, I'm good.
Right.
You know, she was totally at peace, and I see that in older people. You know, when my nanny lost her grandmother, she knew it was coming. And the conversations that, you know, the older people have, they're like, nah, I'm at peace. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. And that's because their quality of life is just gone. And so for that, and that's when you really need to ask the questions, you know, from that generation. Mm-hmm. That's when you need to say your peace.
Mm-hmm. And that's such a, like, strange thing to try to wrap your head around. Like, how does that conversation go when you have to say to yourself, like, you know what? I'm okay with this. And I want everyone. But I actually want to ask you, and I want your opinion about it. What if you have not made peace and you've been kind of not kind to people and you're past, you know, and there's that kind of like, you know, kind of what
I've had family members, you know, and they hold a lot of anger. They hold a lot of anger at the past.
A lot of anger.
And then it's even harder for them, you know. And, you know, I had here's one last loss I'm going to talk about. And this is one, a very close friend of mine, Mountain, God rest his soul, my brother. He passed away of cancer, and I couldn't go see him before he died. It was too close. It was too close to after losing my mother, and I felt really badly. You know, it was hard for his girlfriend to understand why I didn't go. You know, I had conversations with him, and I knew, but I never saw him before he passed because I didn't have the strength to do it. And because that, you know, what it came down to was,
would you do it differently now?
Accept the fact. Yes, 100%, I would. And it was, I realized now, it was because I couldn't have accepted that he was going. You know, but I also knew that he forgave me because he knew what I was going through. So, you know, but I had to forgive myself, and that took a long time. Took a real long time, and it was about a year later before I could explain, you know, to Meg, you know, why I couldn't be there. But she understood.
And I'm sorry, but you know that I love you. We talked about my brother, and you know what I could not imagine not going. I couldn't imagine. Your pain must have been that great.
Oh yeah, and I couldn't accept the fact that he was leaving this earth. You know, I was like, nope. He's gonna recover. But no. I was just in total denial, and that was because where I was at my own grief schedule with the first two losses I was dealing with, you know. I was dealing with the loss of my mom and my daughter's dad, so I couldn't, there was no way I could deal with that one, too. So it's tough, man, and I know people.
Go ahead, baby.
And I was just going to say, you know, my significant other, you know, with Phoenix, you know, he's lost just as many people since we've been together as I have. And, you know, he's lost a sister. He's lost, you know, a couple of nephews. He's lost cousins. And, you know, his loss is so great. And, you know, and then when you're far away from the family, you know, that's when it's even harder, you know, because you don't get to grieve with the family. So when you're grieving by yourself, you know, disassociated, it can sometimes be harder, you know. You know,
can I ask you a question?
Remember, you know,
I'm like, really quick, because we got 3 minutes, and I really want to ask you a question. How does one deal with all this pain, carry on, and continue to love?
Yeah, you know, it does take a lot of strength and understanding, and that's where you just have to find your peace. You know, you have to find your peace and know that, you know, the best thing you can do to honor the people that we've lost is to live your life to the fullest,
because what was their life for then if you can't carry on their legacy? You know, and I try to hold that into, you know, into consideration. You know, but for those who have, you know, suffered losses, you know, there's a lot of organizations out there that can help you. One of my friends' organizations, Walk the Talk America, WTTA.org, you know, they can be a beginning base to help you with any kind of mental illness you may have or any kind of struggle. I'm sure, Destiny, you have a lot of links for people.
I do. I have a lot of links for grievances and outreach programs, and we will share them tomorrow, and I will tag you on those as well, because this is a big deal. You know, we always want to have fun in the show, but we always want to prove a point, because it's the point of the show.
You know, and not every part of life is gumdrops and fairy tales, you know, so it's good to touch base on things that are painful too. You know, so I applaud you for taking
really
on the subject matter, because I know it's hard for a lot of people to deal. Yeah, and I hope that maybe, you know, my stories can, you know, can help others, you know, to know that, you know, you're not alone out there. And hopefully, you know, my sarcastic.
You shared a lot. And I mean, like, my mind is blown right now that you could come on this show and share so much and be so just strong about it. And this is exactly why I would never want to tackle this subject with anyone but you, because I know your strength, and I know that.
Thank you.
I was gonna cry more than you, I was gonna hear your story, and I was gonna be the one crying. But before we do get out of here, I do want to say that. Ed Waterford, friend, very, very dear friend, Shorty Jerome Mahomes from Lynch Mob, passed away. We have been praying for him for a long time. So there's been a lot of loss this year.
Yeah, and a lot of circles. You know, rest in peace.
May everyone rest in peace. So Ed Waterford, you know, our heart goes out to you, and I'm going to give you the last closing words. You got 50 seconds. I love you. Thank you. Go ahead,
you know, baby. I just want to say, you know, to everyone that is going through a loss or has suffered a loss, you know, just stay strong, and, you know, you will get through it, and there is light at the end of the tunnel, and it just, not every day is going to be great, but just focus on life. And the best way to honor the death of the loved ones is to live your life the best that you can, because that's all that they ever would have wanted anyhow. So, you know, just stay strong, sending love and light and prayers, and stay strong out there, everybody.
We love you. We thank you. So What's the Point with Destiny Williams? We're out.